We are studying the creation in the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I want to ask you a Bible question about the creation. What was the first thing that God spake into existence? Now, we're going to read that answer in just a moment. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. You be thinking about what that is. The first thing that God spake into existence. And I need to tell you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the answer to that Bible question? The first thing God spake into existence? I'm going to begin reading in Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read the answer to that. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. And there was light." The first thing we read about that God spoke into existence is light. That's pretty amazing. It's amazing that this is an old book, and many years of scientific investigation and discovery has gone on since Moses wrote those words. And yet, what we learn from modern science is that there's something fundamental in the creation about light. While we have discovered that what matter is, the very substance of existence, is bound up energy. And there is a tremendous amount of energy in the very smallest bit of matter. And the ratio is a very huge number. You might remember the old famous equation that Albert Einstein developed. E equal mc squared. E has to do with energy. And m is mass. And c is a very, very large number multiplied by itself to express that ratio between energy and mass. Do you remember what the C stands for? It is a number that is equal to the speed of light. It is a tremendous number. And yet, from that very equation associating matter and energy, and the very substance and makeup of our universe, there's something fundamental about light. It is as though God established the bound of material existence when He said, "Let there be light." And then He would grab that pure light energy and from that be able to form and make and mold every other thing which He had made. Now, I know Moses did not know anything about these scientific discoveries and scientific theories, but yet it astounds me how, when the very essence of modern science is discussed, it can be discussed in these old biblical terms. We're studying a Sunday school about the creation that was written for the Sunday schools of April the 11th, 1926. There has been so much that has been revealed by science since the year 1926, and yet this is a Bible study, and a Bible study remains current because a Bible remains current. And so we don't have to know all the latest discoveries of science to comprehend what was written in this book. Now, we'll begin in verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning." In the beginning doesn't stand for a certain period. It's not talking about time. It's talking about the beginning of time. Before time, there is eternity. And we may say eternity lasts for a long time, but that's really not so, because there's no time in eternity. Time itself is bound up in the physical makeup of our universe, and it is a substance, and not a matter substance, but it is a product and a partial of what we are in physical existence. You get outside of time and you enter into the spirit world of eternity. There is no time there. Now, in the beginning, we read that God created the heavens and the earth. That was the start. We also read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We read, Jehovah possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting to from the beginning, before the earth was, when there were no depths. I was brought forth when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the beginning of the dust of the world. Proverbs 8:22-36. What is the writer talking about? The wise man of Proverbs. What was this made from before the beginning? He's talking about wisdom. And wisdom has always resided with God. It's a poetic expression. The Bible speaks also of the beginning of creation in Mark chapter 10 and verse 6, and Mark chapter 13 and verse 19. And we read in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10, Thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth. God does not count time as men count it. We read that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. God is not bound to time as we are. Time began when God created the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and the firmament and the seas and the fishes and all things. The beginning, chapter 1, verse 1. That marks the beginning of time. In the infinite period expressed by in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Before time is eternity, and as soon as material was made, time began. In the beginning God. Now, who is God, and what are we talking about God? If you go back to Clark's commentary, we read that as to the word itself, it is pure Anglo-Saxon, and among our ancestors it signified not only the divine, being now commonly designated by the word, but also good, as it is in their apprehension. It appeared that God was good, and they are co-related terms. And when they thought or spoke of God, they were doubtless led from the word itself to consider him as the good being, the fountain of infinite benevolence and goodness toward his creation. That's Clark's commentary. The commentary says that the Hebrew word Elohim is the term by which the divine being is most generally expressed in the Old Testament, and that this is the plural form. We know that the Word, capital Word, was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God, and that the second verse of the Bible speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so here we have God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, all of that same substance that is God. They all have those same characteristics, God. And so there's one God in that sense. There's not different kinds of gods, of high gods and low gods. No, there's one. But then there's the three persons. God the Father, God the Word that became God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. God is the eternal self-existing one, the same yesterday and today and forever, the first cause, and the supreme ruler of all things. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Psalm 90, verses 2 through 4. So in the beginning, God created. Now that word created means caused to exist. God made the heavens and earth out of nothing. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God. So that which is seen hath not been made out of things which appear, Hebrews 11 and verse 3. God did not form anew the heavens and earth, or make or evolve them out of something else. By the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. We understand this by faith. We believe God's testimony in regard to it. For every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God, Hebrews 3 and verse 4. This is a self-evident proposition. Everybody knows that every building on earth, from the pig pen to the palace, from the rude Indian hut to the most splendid mansion and most magnificent temple, it was erected by someone. We could more easily believe that the unsawed logs, unmixed and unmolded clay, rough and unhewn stones, and unsmelted iron from the bosom of the earth, without intelligence and design, would form themselves into the most beautiful buildings of the earth, than to believe that without intelligence of the Creator, and by blind force, the earth and the heavens and all their order and glory came to exist. The former is the so-called theory of evolution. The latter is the wisdom and power of God. God is the Creator. This verse, then, the first sentence in the Bible, states a stupendous and sublime fact. It at once sets forth God as the first cause, the Creator, and the supreme ruler of all things. The verse does not state through whom and by what means God created all things, but we learn from other passages that through Jesus Christ, when he existed as the Word, God created all things, through whom he made the worlds, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1 and verse 3. This was done by the word of God as stated above. Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So God made two things, the heavens and the earth. The heavens embrace the atmosphere which surrounds the earth and all the heavenly bodies and all the host of them to the remotest star. We can stand and look into the darkness of night, up at the farthest star that is cast in the sky, and know God made these things.